God's Smuggler by Brother Andrew continued.
Disc 3.
So that night, in our evening prayer time, we put the matter before God. Lord, we've got ourselves into a spot. From somewhere we've got to get a cake. Will you help us? That morning, as we rolled up in our blankets on the floor at the hall, we played guessing games. How was God going to give us that cake? Among the five of us, we guessed everything imaginable, or so we thought. Morning arrived. We half expected a heavenly messenger to come to our door bearing a cake, but no one came. The morning mail arrived. We ripped open the two letters, hoping for money. There was none. A woman from a nearby church came by to see if she could help. Cake was on the tip of all our tongues, but we swallowed the word and shook our heads. Everything, we assured her, is in God's hands. The tea had been announced for 4 o'clock in the afternoon. At 3 the tables were set, but still we had no cake. 3:30 came. We put on water to boil. 3:45, and then the doorbell rang. All of us together ran to the big front entrance, and there was the postman. In his hand was a large box. "Hello, lads," said the postman. "Got something for you that feels like a food package." He handed the box to one of the boys. "The delivery day is over, actually," he said, "but I hate to leave a perishable package overnight." We thanked him profusely, and the minute he closed the door, the boy solemnly handed me the box. "It's for you, Andrew, from a Mrs. William Hopkins in London." I took the package and carefully unwrapped it. Off came the twine. Off came the brown outside paper. Inside there was no note, only a large white box. Deep in my soul, I knew that I could afford the drama of lifting the lid slowly. As I did, there, in perfect condition, to be admired by five sets of wondering eyes, was an enormous, glistening, moist chocolate cake. With this kind of experience behind me, I was not really surprised to find waiting for me when we got back to school a cheque from the Westras that was exactly enough, when converted into pounds, to pay my second term's fee. The second term seemed to go even faster than the first, so much was there to grasp and ponder. But before that term was over, I had received money to keep me there a third, this time from, of all places, some buddies at the Veterans Hospital. And so it went throughout the second year, too. I never mentioned the school fees to anyone, and yet the gifts always came at such a moment that I could pay them in full and on time. Nor did they ever contain more than the school costs, and, in spite of the fact that the people who were helping me did not know one another, they never came two together.